Good morning. Welcome to the First Presbyterian Church on this beautiful Lord's Day. Just a few announcements before we begin worship. You'll notice in your order of service, the deacons are planning to have their monthly meeting this Tuesday at 6:30. And then we will have our Bible study time at Dennis and Dorothy Stair's house on Thursday at 1. Do want to highlight the Chamber of Commerce reception. You see all of the details of that in the bulletin as well. So let's be in. Let's remember all these opportunities coming up. I would draw to your attention that the Presbytery meeting has been moved, not in date, but in place. We were going to meet at Christ EPC in Houston, and now we're going to be meeting in San Antonio. So I'll be heading to San Antonio in a couple of weeks, and please be in prayer for all of those who will be traveling for that meeting. Let's now be called to worship with these words. Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Let's stand as we sing God's praise. Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, from the rising of the sun unto its setting, all over the world your great name is praised on this your Sabbath day. Help us to join our voices with all the saints throughout space and time as we sing your praise, as we celebrate your mighty power and your everlasting love. For we come into your presence not claiming that we are worthy, but instead, simply clinging to the cross of Christ, claiming the perfect sacrifice he offered on behalf of all who trust in him, and offering the prayer that he taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. And if you would take up your hymnals, a responsive reading today comes from the back of the hymnal, selection 601. This selection is taken from Psalm 27, a beautiful psalm to read anytime you have a difficulty. I know I go to it often in tough times. I'll read the light-faced print and encourage the congregation to respond with the bold. Let's read this portion of God's word responsively. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?
When evildoers assail me, uttering slanders against me, my adversaries and foes, they shall stumble and fall.
Though a host encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident.
One thing.
For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will set me high upon a rock.
And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies round about me. And I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. And I will sing and make melody to the Lord.
Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud, be gracious to me. And answer me.
Turn not thy servant away in anger, thou who hast been my help. Cast me not off. Forsake me not, O God of my salvation. I believe that I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living.
Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Yea, wait for the Lord.
Let's turn in our hymnals now to selection 422 as we remind one another that we can trust the Lord no matter what is going on in our lives. We'll sing all three stanzas of hymn 422, and let us stand to sing. We have sung of our trust in our God. Now let us say what we believe about him using the words of the Apostles' Creed. They're found inside the front cover of your hymnal. Christian, what do you believe?
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
May be seated. And it's time for our children to come forward, have a lesson. Morning, guys. How are y'all this morning? What have I got here? A house. Take a look at it. What kind of shape do you think this house is in? You see anything wrong with it? There's a tree. Where?
On the top.
Yeah. It looks like it's gone through the roof, right?
Yes.
What else is wrong with it?
There's a hole in the roof.
And what about the shape of the roof?
It's triangle.
It's kind of off center, right? So what do you think happened to this house?
Yeah.
A tree fell on it. Why do you think a tree fell on it?
Because there was a big storm.
A storm, yes. You guys are brilliant. Yes, a storm. Where have we had some storms recently? Do you know? Houston, Texas. Well, this particular house is not in Houston. It's just southwest of Houston in a little town called Edna. Edna Presbyterian Church is there. It's one of our partner churches in our presbytery. And it's a small church in a small town. And what the session thought is that the money that we took up for a hurricane relief, for Hurricane Harvey relief, would go to Edna because we're a small church in a small town and they're a small church in a small town. And even though it's a small place, there can be big problems in a small place, right? So what this little house reminds us of is that even though we're not a big church in a big town, that it doesn't take a lot to help a little, right? And that's something all of us can learn too, especially those of us that are real small. Yeah. You know, you may not be able to do a whole lot, but if everybody does a little, it'll help a lot, right? Okay. So let's have a prayer and then we'll go. Lord, thank you so much for the opportunity to do a little bit to help folks in need. We pray for Edna Presbyterian Church and for the folks in the town that were damaged by Hurricane Harvey. Lord, that you would bless and encourage them in this difficult time. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You did so good. All right. Now, before we sing our next hymn, I do want to share with the grown-ups a little news of some of our other churches in the Hurricane Harvey area. We have gotten updates. One from Carter Sanger at Cornerstone Church, Katy. Katy is just to the west of Houston. And this is what Carter writes. He wrote this a couple of days ago. He said, just to give an update, we have a half dozen families with flooded homes. After today, we have mucked out four of them. Two are still inaccessible. As our muck crew goes out this week, our ladies are offering free childcare to enable people from the community to get into their homes or volunteer where needed. We quite literally have a mission field in our backyard. Our relief fund will go to purchase supplies for cleanup and in some cases rebuilding of homes and lives for our members, our ministry partners, and our Katy neighbors. The estimates say that 80 to 90% of the people impacted do not have flood insurance. It's going to be a long recovery. There are not enough contractors to rebuild in a timely fashion. I spoke with one we've used at Cornerstone over the years, and he is already booked for the next 12 months. One of our elders' homes is still underwater. He has no flood insurance and has not yet found a contractor to help in the recovery. He doesn't know if his house is recoverable at all, as it has been under 4 to 8 feet of water for nearly 2 weeks and counting. Here's today's update from Icky Soma and the folks at City of Refuge Church, which is in Houston. Icky writes, and I got this yesterday. He writes, we had a team of 25 volunteers come down from Arlington, Texas yesterday and today. They came from New Life Fellowship, our sister congregation through a connection at Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship. We removed drywall from a devastated house in Dickinson, that's a member of City Refuge, and then headed to the friend of one of our ruling elders' daughters in Katy. The neighborhood in Katy looked like a war zone. They removed hardwood floors and cabinets. They got a chance to pray with the owner of the home, too. They finished about 8:30 p.m.
Today, one team from New Life Fellowship went to Hector Reynoso's brother's house. Now, Hector is a pastor in our presbytery down in Mercedes near the Rio Grande. His brother lives in the Houston area. Carter Icky writes, they removed flooring. Another team went to the home of one of our members to transport some of her boxes and furniture to a storage facility. Finally, the team ended the day removing drywall from a ruling elder's home in West Houston. These saints from New Life went above and beyond. They also brought down donations and an offering check. Icky writes, I am exhausted. Our Harvey relief team meets tomorrow, that's today, after our two gatherings. So let's be in prayer for these saints as they are trying to keep up the work of the church and prayer and worship and all of those things. And all week long, they're helping people with storm recovery. So they've got a long way to go. With that in mind, let's take up our hymnals. We'll turn to selection 554. 554 is a hymn that reminds us that God is going to be with us, a prayer that God would be with us no matter what happens in our lives. Let's sing just the first three stanzas, just the first three stanzas of hymn 554, and let us stand to sing. You may be seated. It's so strange, isn't it, when the sun is so beautiful and the air is so crisp and it's just a glorious day in Mississippi, to know that there are folks in Houston that are still flooded from the last hurricane, and there are folks in Key West and Tampa that are having unimaginable rain and wind today. So as we go to the Lord in prayer, let's remember all these who are in the path of the storm. Let us pray. Thank you. Lord, we come before you today to give you thanks. We thank you, O Lord, for the beautiful sunshine. We thank you for sparing us from the terrible disasters that have happened to our west and to our east. Lord, we thank you. But we want to pray, O Lord, for those who are in the path of the storm today. And we pray, O Father, for your mercy. Lord, we pray for those in Key West and in Tampa and in places that are going to bear the brunt of Hurricane Irma. Lord, we pray for protection for the people who are riding out the storm. We pray for your protection and your guidance for those who have had to evacuate. Lord, we pray for all of the electrical linemen and other repairmen who are heading into harm's way to help get power back on, for the millions who are estimated to be without it. We pray, O Lord, for those who will be providing hospitality to friends, family, loved ones, some strangers, as they seek to escape the storm's worst. But Lord, even as our television screens are going to be filled with images of Florida this week, we know that our brothers and sisters in Texas are a long way from being done with their recovery. And so, our Father, we want to pray for our congregations in Texas in the aftermath of Hurricane Harvey. Lord, as we lift up each of these congregations and their pastors, we know that they're tired. And it's only been a couple of weeks. We know from our experience helping out with Hurricane Katrina that this is going to take months, maybe years. So we pray for endurance for them. We pray for courage and for strength. We pray, O Lord, that you would fill them with your spirit to allow them to go the distance, not just to help the members of the congregation recover, but to help the community. And in so doing, Lord, shine the light of Christ into a dark and weary world. So, Lord, we pray, especially we pray for the pastors this morning. They're tired from doing hurricane relief work all week, and then they have to come into the pulpit and say something that will encourage and comfort their people. Lord, give these pastors the strength and the courage and the words to say. Hold them up, Lord. We hold up their hands, even as Aaron and Hur held up Moses' hands as he ministered. So, Father, we pray for the Congregation of Christ EPC in Houston and for Richard Harris, their pastor. We pray for the City of Refuge in Houston and for Icky Soma, their pastor. We pray for the Cornerstone Church in Katy and Carter Sanger, their pastor. We pray for the Edna Presbyterian Church and Michael Yontz, their pastor. We pray for Covenant EPC in Lake Jackson, Texas, and Alan Trafford, their pastor. Lord, for these congregations, we pray. We pray for the Little Bel Air Vietnamese Fellowship, as many of them lost wages during the storm, and for evangelist Daniel Nguyen, their pastor. Lord, comfort these saints, encourage and bless them as they minister to others. And Lord, for two of our Presbyterian ministers who were flooded out, we pray for them and their families as they put the pieces of their lives back together. For Chaplain Daniel Satuka and for Principal Aaron Langer, Lord, have mercy on them. Strengthen and encourage them. Lord, we pray as we meditate upon your word today that you would comfort and strengthen us and help us, Lord, as we have been spared from these storms. We're right in the middle. Lord, help us to know how we can help with our prayers, with our gifts, with our work. Lord, whatever it is, give us the wisdom to know how a little church in a little town can make a big difference. We pray this in the name of our Lord Jesus and for his sake. Amen. Lord is so merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Let us respond to God's grace as we give unto the Lord his tithes and our offerings. Let us pray. Lord, you are the giver of all good gifts. You give us the bright sunny days and the dark stormy ones too. You've given us family and friends and everything that we need. And Lord, we thank you for these gifts that you've given to us. And we pray that you would take these gifts that we offer to you as tokens of our love and expressions of our faith. And Lord, that you would use not only our gifts but ourselves, however you will. Show us, O Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We have two brief scripture passages today. We'll spend most of our time in Psalm 46, another great psalm to read in times of difficulty. I think you'll find it's a very comforting psalm. And we'll also read a few verses of John's Gospel, the 7th chapter, having to do with Jesus' words about rivers of living water. So, Psalm 46, beginning with the first verse and reading through the end of the psalm. This is God's word to the chief musician for the sons of Korah, a song upon Alamot. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. And then we turn to John's Gospel, the 7th chapter, just a few verses beginning with verse 37. This is God's word. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." That's God's word. May he Bless us as we meditate upon it today. Now let's see. The biggest earthquake to hit Mexico in a century struck on Friday. It killed over 50 people, striking Oaxaca and Chiapas, the two poorest states in Mexico. This part of the country happens to be where the National Presbyterian Church of Mexico, our partner denomination, is the strongest. The quake was so massive that it caused buildings to sway in Mexico City, 650 miles away. The earth being removed and the mountains shaking. Check. Meanwhile, the same southern part of Mexico that experienced the earthquake was also being hit by Hurricane Katia. And then, of course, there's Hurricane Irma plowing into Key West and Naples and Tampa right now. Thousands in shelters, millions without power, even my hometown of Valdosta, all the way up in Georgia, is expecting hurricane force winds, and they're setting up shelters. And let's not forget Hurricane Harvey. 70 people died. Over 100,000 homes were damaged or destroyed. The total cost to repair the mess will be somewhere around $30 billion. Mountains being carried into the midst of the sea, waters roaring and troubled. Check. Oh, and let's not forget what's going on overseas. North Korea shooting missiles into the Sea of Japan, exploding a hydrogen bomb. ISIS still causing trouble in Syria. We're not sure what side the Russians are on over there. And here at home, Congress is in gridlock, seemingly unable to agree about anything. People are rioting in the streets over statues a century old commemorating a war that happened even longer ago. And things aren't much better closer to home, are they? In our state's capital, the number of violent crimes in the streets seems to be second only to the number of potholes. Our county government pays out 70% of its considerable income in salaries, and yet they can't figure out how to keep our hospital open. The nation's raging, the kingdom's moving. Check. I think we can understand Psalm 46, can't we? Of course, we've been through other personal storms lately as well. We all know folks whose relationships have splintered, folks whose health suddenly fails, folks whose loved ones have gone on to be with the Lord. Is there a stronghold of safety anywhere? Is there any security in this world? Is there a place of refuge? Not in the earth that quakes, not in the seas that roar and foam, not in the rivers that flood and change their course. Oh, and not in the kingdoms that totter either. For no matter how much we look to our state and our federal governments to organize relief efforts and provide funds to the victims, two major storms striking several major metropolitan areas back to back? Will FEMA have enough funds to help everyone? Where will all the electric line crews come from? Where will the contractors come from to repair all those homes? How will the Cajun Navy make it all the way to Tampa? Where's our stronghold? Where's our place of safety? Where is our refuge? Well, it's not in anything that the forces of nature or government can destroy. It's not in our homes. It's not in our jobs. It's not in our bank accounts. It's not in our trust funds. It's not in our Social Security checks or our Medicare payments or our pension plans. It's not even in our friends or family members as reliable and generous, as loving as they are. No. If we look to anything in this world to be our refuge, if we place our trust in anything in this world, sooner or later, we will be disappointed. Now, at this point, We might be tempted to give in to a rather understandable state of worry and anxiety. I know that's my chief temptation. But somehow, in the face of similar problems, the psalmist says this: we will not fear. We will not fear. Instead of trusting in our government or our friends or our stuff, the psalmist would have us build our lives on a firmer foundation, on God Himself. And doesn't that make sense when we think about how much more powerful our God is? Even when we think about the worst of our problems, even when we think about the mightiest forces of nature. Now, I've never been through an earthquake. Some of you may have. But I saw a reporter who was in southern Mexico this week, and he said that it felt like a train running underneath the ground where he was standing. It was a magnitude 8 earthquake. But it was over in just seconds. The psalmist asks us to think about the power of our God in contrast. Because verse 6 says that when He utters His voice, the earth doesn't just quake for a few seconds. It melts. The same divine voice through which everything that is, everything that ever has been, the voice that brought it all into existence, that same voice has the power to undo all of it just as completely, just as suddenly as it was called into existence. The God that can say, "Let there be light," can say, "Let there be darkness." Just that fast. Now, of course, lately we've seen that some natural disasters are slow to unfold. Those of us who live close to the Mississippi River understand this concept of a slow-moving disaster, right? We've been tracking Hurricane Irma for the better part of a week. We've known it was coming. We didn't know exactly where. We've noticed every shift in its predicted path. We've wondered if it would get into the Gulf like Hurricane Katrina did, but we've been watching it. And even more strangely, the rivers and the reservoirs that were swollen with Hurricane Harvey's rains. Once all the rain stopped, the engineers got out their protractors and their slide rules and their calculators, and they could tell you exactly where that flood level was going to get to and when. And so it was under sunny skies like this that our friends in Lake Jackson watched as all that water from Houston filled up the rivers and flooded their homes. And there was nothing they could do. They were helpless. So what can we do? Helpless as we are in the face of disasters, either quick or slow. Well, verse 4 tells us about another kind of river. Not one that brings disaster and devastation, but a river that brings gladness. A river that is not a bane, but a blessing to the city of God. And Jesus said the same sort of thing in our responsive reading the reading we did from John, wasn't it? Didn't he say, as he was standing in the city of God, as he was standing in the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High, didn't he say, "If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink"? The river that Jesus supplies, it's not a destructive force. It's a refreshing force, a force that fills us, a force that satisfies us. For that river is Jesus Christ Himself. "Come to me," He says, "and drink." Today the earth shakes. Today the storms rage. Today the rivers rise. But Jesus invites us to come to Him. To come to the Word of God, the Word who spoke the world into existence. To come to him. The one who walks on the waves. The one whose mere word stills the storms. No matter what we're going through, Jesus is the one with the power to save us. And this power is available to us as well. For Jesus goes on to say that anyone who comes to him, anyone who believes in him, anyone who trusts in him will have rivers of living water flowing out. The King James says out of their belly, which means out of their heart, out of the very center of their being. Jesus does not just come to quench our physical thirst. He comes to give us abundant life, overflowing life, no matter what is going on around us. And David makes that same connection, doesn't he? In verse 4, he talks about this river that brings gladness to the city, to the people of God. And why is that? Because in verse 5, we learn that God is in the midst of us. That's why we won't be moved. That's how God will help us right at the break of day. Because in Jesus Christ, God is not just with us in his Holy Spirit. God lives within us. And that brings us to the second reason we should not fear, even in the face of the worst storms of life. For if we should find confidence in the unimaginable power of our God, we can also take comfort in the amazing fact of God's intimate presence. God's presence. That's how the psalm begins, doesn't it? God is a very present help in our times of trouble. God is in the midst of his people, so we will not be moved. The living water of Christ is within us. No matter what the outward circumstances of our lives may be, God is with us. God is with us. And I think we Mississippi folks understand how important that withness is, how important the nearness of God is. For why do we put such a high rank on visiting people? Why do we go to the hospital? Why do we go to the nursing home? Why do we stand hours in line in visitation for the bereaved? Why do we attend memorial services? It's because we know how important it is just to be there. It isn't the words you say. It isn't even the casserole that you bring. Just being there lessens the pain. Just being there lessens the sorrow of grief. It helps, doesn't it? When someone is there. Well, y'all, in the midst of our troubles, let us take comfort that God is there. God is here. God is in Florida. God is in Houston. We are not alone. No matter what we're going through, the loving Father who created us, the loving Father who has redeemed all of his people by the blood of his Son, is with us, is within us. So yes, earthquakes may rock the mountains. Yes, hurricanes may uproot the trees and plow through the houses. Kings may threaten with their armies. Governments may blunder and bluster. But verse 9 reminds us that it is God who makes the wars to cease. It is God who takes the worst of our weapons and breaks them and burns them to ashes. It is God who commands the swaggering braggarts of the earth to be still, to cease their striving, to know that he is God, to know that his anointed Messiah is the King of kings and the Lord of lords, the one who stills the worst of storms with a word. Yes, there are many scary things in this world. We're going to see some of them this week. There are many situations that are completely beyond our control. There are many times when we are completely helpless, but there is nothing too difficult for our God. There is nothing too difficult for our God. By the blood of his cross, by the power of his resurrection, all authority in heaven and on earth belongs to our Lord Jesus. All authority. And when he comes again, his name will be exalted. He said, I will be exalted, and his name will be exalted. Not just in the church, but throughout what the King James calls the heathen, throughout the nations of the world. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. But today, while we still live in a world of bereavement and bureaucrats, while we live in a world of earthquakes and hurricanes, while we live in a world of fires and floods, we have a place of perfect refuge. We have a source of sufficient strength. For the Lord of hosts, the commander of all the armies of heaven, is with us today, guiding us today, protecting us today, helping us and our loved ones today in our time of need. So let us rejoice today in the midst of the earthquakes and the hurricanes. In the midst of the government misfeasance and malfeasance and whatever else they're doing, let us rejoice, for God is with us. Let us pray for his help. Let us bow down before him. Let us submit to his perfect will. For no matter what happens, the God of Jacob is our stronghold. Let us pray. Lord, it is so much easier for us to worry than to pray. As our television screens are filled with unimaginable devastation, our natural inclination is to be afraid. Lord, don't let us fall into that temptation. Let us lift our eyes to the hills from whence our help comes, for our help comes from the Lord, from you, the maker of the heavens and the earth. Lord, let us lift our eyes to Jesus, the Lord of hosts. Let us lift our eyes to the one who created it all, the one who is in charge of everything. Oh, Lord, be our refuge, be our stronghold, be our high rock on which we can stand. And let us have the grace, oh, Lord, to hide ourselves in you. We offer our prayer in the name of Christ and for his sake. Amen. Now we're going to close our worship time today as we take up our Psalters. We'll turn to Psalm 46. Psalm 46. You'll notice in your Psalter it says there's two different versions. We'll sing the second version. It's divided into three stanzas. And we're going to sing it to the tune of A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. So we'll sing the psalm we have just studied, Psalm 46, the second version, to the tune of A Mighty Fortress. Let us stand to sing. no matter what happens this week, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.